How many of you know we've been in the Transfiguration? And we went over it, and went over it, and went over it, and we still miss the whole thing. And you say, amen. And it just started opening since Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just, I couldn't even stand up. I left the prayer calls. I was so excited. I was running around my house. Now, those of you that have been here, we've been in the middle of a series. We call it the Omega Jurisdiction, our time habitation, our omnipresent omniscience. And we've looked at Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which he was never termed the Alpha and Omega till the book of Revelation. This is the first time you'll see Alpha and Omega. And John, as we looked at the revelation of John, just a small amount of review. When he wrote the book of Revelation, he just didn't see that book prophetically. He was transported into that entire revelation. He interacted with it. He wept. He was escorted. He talked. He was a participant in that entire seven-year journey. When it was revealed to him, those 7 years, the book of Revelation, he was a participant of the whole thing. God had taken his spirit out from where he was 2,000 years ago and brought him all the way into events that hadn't even happened yet. Isn't that glorious? Well, we started seeing this in the ministry of Christ and the Transfiguration, that he was actually translated into his own resurrection before its time. God took him through the cross, translated him, and we saw all this, but I didn't see all that we're going to see today. Amen? And this is what I would consider a crowning message of crowning of the crown, crowning of really our life's work, honestly, because of where we're at in the Spirit and what he's doing, assignments he's given. And so we're going to take a little journey today. How many of you ready for this? Amen? Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. So let's go back to Luke chapter 9, 28. So we're going to go into the Mount of Transfiguration. It came to pass about the eighth day. Actually, it was the sixth day, because both Matthew and Mark say it was after the 6 days. But he says 8 days here. He took Peter and John, James, and went up into a mountain to pray. What went into? They went somewhere. Boy, did they go somewhere. Now, listen, everything you hear today is part of the operation that God is going to reveal to his church in the last days, what I would call the majestic glory. We're going to walk in this type of operation. The whole church is one of the great things that will define the last day church, is the seven spirits of God, the outpouring of this type of operation. And as he prayed, verse 29, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. The Bible actually says, Matthew 17's account said, his face did shine as the sun. I mean, he was glorified in a resurrected state on the Mount of Transfiguration. He went through the cross. He was standing in a post-cross resurrection. That's what we've been preaching. He was actually standing in a whole lot more than that. If you don't believe me, just listen to that guy up there. So, and behold, he talked with him two men, Moses and Elijah, that's Elijah. This is actually a whole nother message we'll probably do either Wednesday or next Sunday about these two guys being there, because they were more than just standing on that mountain. Look at verse 31, said, who appeared in glory. In glory. You want to underline, appeared in glory. If you're taking notes, that's important. Amen. And they spake of his decease, that he should be accomplished at Jerusalem. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. So what was going on here is, while Christ was being glorified and brought into his glorification and brought into his resurrection, the disciples, the glory had come over them and it put them to sleep. They were in a deep trance state type sleep. They awoke in the middle of all of this, because Christ was already glorified. The two witnesses were already talking with Christ. I think they talked about a whole lot more, as you'll see. As they were speaking and talking together, Peter and the disciples, they awoke and they see. Notice what they say, they awake. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. The two witnesses appeared in it and they saw it. They looked into it. And then Peter, as the two men stood with him, and he said, let us make three tabernacles, And while he spoke, this bright cloud of glory, which was the Father himself, came over the disciples. They came over. While thus speaking, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into. Say, they entered into that cloud. I don't know how long they were in that cloud. I know the Father spoke in the middle of that cloud, but I think they were in there for quite a while. As you're going to see, and there was a lot that they saw while they were in that cloud. There was a lot that happened in that cloud, praise God. All right, are you ready? That's catching up to where we were. Now go to 2 Peter, and let's move on in, praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, he was there, he saw it, he's giving a testimony of what he saw. Amen? 2 Peter 1, verse 13, he says, I think that it's meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. So Peter's at the very end of his life and ministry here. And these are his final words, second book, his final words before leaving the earth. He knows he's about to leave. Verse 15, you'll want to underline this verse, very important, because he actually repeats himself in chapter 3. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. What I'm about to say to you, say always in remembrance. We'll come back to that. These are the laws of meditation, because he's going to actually come right back to what he's talking about. Look at verse 16. Very powerful verse. You want to put some little eyeballs next to this verse, a little smiley face, to say, look, look, look. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you what? The power and what? The what? Say it again. The coming of the Lord Jesus, the event that hasn't happened, which they were preaching in their generation, we're preaching in our generation, the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we made it known to you, the power and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, say the return. They were preaching the return of Christ back in those days, the return and the power of his second coming. You can write second coming there of Christ. We made known unto you the power and the second, you can put second coming there of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Say honor and glory. When there was such a voice to him from the excellent glory, say the excellent glory, that actually is also, that word excellent means megaloprepes. Say megaloprepes. I don't even know if I got that right. I'm pretty close. Megaloprepes. It means what? Majesty. Say majesty. Majestic. So here is, Peter says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and when he received from the Father honor and glory, when there came a voice from him from this majestic glory, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, and there was, most of your Bibles, if it's not King James, will actually say majestic, but actually the proper ending there is majestic. This is important. He says, when there came such a voice to him from the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him, say with him, in the Holy Mount. And we have also a sure, more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you would do well that you would take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy here. Now he's talking about, listen, the second coming. So he's talking about when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What he's saying is God has spoken about the second coming all the way back through the old. We've been talking to you about all of our life, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Why? Because we were eyewitnesses of the second coming glory of Christ. Say eyewitnesses of the second coming. And he gives the reference to the second coming of Christ as what they saw on that mount. They didn't just see him in his resurrection. They saw him in his coming future glory, the return of the kingly glory. That's why I say we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The word majesty is a term used for sovereigns and kings. We saw him in his kingly glory. We saw him in his power that he's going to return to the earth with. We saw him. Say, we saw him and we heard the Father overshadow him with this majestic glory. We saw the glory and we heard the words of the Father when he confirmed him. We have a more sure word of prophecy because we heard this and we saw it. Go to chapter 3. We'll see if he's talking about second coming here. Now, why is this important? Because whatever happened on that Mount of Transfiguration wasn't just post-cross. It was 2,000 years in front. They were looking at a glory that was upon him. Not only they were looking at it, they were transported into it. Peter, James, and John, and the two witnesses of Moses and Elijah, which are hugely important. I believe Carlos would call those the two olive trees. Anyway, we'll get to that later, but they were moved and they saw a coming glory. See, a coming glory. A glory, a kingly glory that he returned to the earth with. That's what they saw. That's what they witnessed. That's what they heard, and that's what they entered into. 2 Peter chapter 3, watch this, verse 1. Now this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. Are we in 2 Peter? Is 2 Peter chapter 1 part of 2 Peter? Is 2 Peter 1 talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus? And they were witnessing of it, right? So look at chapter 3. And this second epistle, beloved, we write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by what? By way of what? Remembrance. What did he say in 2 Peter 1 verse 15? I will endeavor that you be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. What things? The second coming and the glory of it. We want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken of the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying what? Where is the promise of his coming? Say, where is the promise of his coming? Drop down. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. God is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come what? As a thief in the night. What's he talking about? Second coming. Say second coming. It was the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Look at verse 12. Looking and hasting for the coming of the day of God. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for the heaven, a new earth, wherein there dwelleth righteousness. So he's saying this whole second epistle that I'm writing unto you is to stir you up by way of remembrance. I'm about to leave, and I am telling you there is a second coming. And we're not just telling you this through cunningly devised fables. We have been eyewitnesses. Say eyewitnesses. We have both seen him and we have heard him, not just in his resurrection, which Peter saw 6 times. He saw the Lord in his resurrection. He said, I saw him a 7th time. Not just in his resurrection, but I saw this future majestic glory that he's returning to the earth with. We saw it. We were eyewitnesses of it. On that mountain, when the Father overshadowed him and said, this is my beloved Son, we heard the majestic voice. We saw the majestic glory. Say, we heard it. We saw it. Which means when they were on that Mount of Transfiguration, they weren't just standing there looking at his resurrection. They, before there ever was, they didn't even know there was going to be a resurrection. They didn't even know he was going to die at this point. They're just running around with this earthly ministry. God translates all of them into a future time, 2,000 years, because notice what he said. Say, we were what? Eyewitnesses. Say, eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses of his glory. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. 2 Peter 1:16. So, if he's going to be, how do you know they were there? How do you know they were in front? What were they looking at? They're looking at the Lord of glory, but they were looking at his future majestic glory that was on him. They were not only looking at it, they entered into the same cloud that everybody was caught up in, right? And he says, now Peter says, listen, we did not make known unto you these words of cunningly devised fables, but we were eyewitnesses of this glory. So when the Father brought the Lord 2,000 years in front, before his cross, took him through the cross, into the resurrections, and into the future coming glory of his kingship, all the way to our generation, into a glory that hadn't even been revealed yet. They all saw, and Peter says, we were eyewitnesses of this. How can you be an eyewitness if you're not there? You gotta be there. Say, you gotta be there. He couldn't be an eyewitness if Peter was still back over here in his time and the Lord was way out in front there. He could not be an eyewitness of it. He had to have gone with him. Peter, James, John, all translated into our generation and looked at the Lord of glory, the majestic glory, the coming kingly glory that's on him. They saw it. They were bearing witness of it. And Peter said, listen, we saw it. We stir you up. We were eyewitnesses of his majestic glory. The Father bestowed honor and glory upon him. He said, this is my son, my beloved heir. This is the one that's going to return to the earth. That means that was John's first trip into our generation. His second trip was in the book of Revelations. These guys were eyewitnesses. Listen, to be an eyewitness, you have to be there. Amen? You got to be there. What's that mean? God is going to ordain an operation in the people of this last generation. We're going to move freely in him that is, him that was. Now they were moving in that day in him that is to come. Because who was down there on that mountain? The Father. They were all caught up into the Father. Who is the Father? He is the Father that is, who was, say was, and is to come. All of this is the ministry of the Father. They got caught up in this is the glory. Say, this is the glory. When he said, I will you be with me where I am that you may behold my glory. There's no boundary to the glory of the Father. This is the majestic glory. It's the future glory. It's our generation glory. It's the glory he's going to return with. It's the glory he's going to anoint this last day church with. The kingly glory. They saw it. They bore witness. We're going to walk in it. Spirit Lord spoke to me the other day. He goes, if you're going to shift a generation, you'll have to get in front of it. You cannot change a generation with what is. You must find what is not. And to find what is not, you have to move forward. You have to go out from your generation in to where it dwells. Get it and bring it back. This is what you don't understand. This is what we're beginning to understand. Listen, we're in a school of the Spirit here. I mean, if you sit in the wrong church all the time, you get programmed to think you're just a nice little Christian. You're supposed to come to church and tithe all the time. That's really it. We are heirs of a kingdom which God has anointed us with operations of this kingdom to understand how to operate. All this is done in the Father, him that was, him that is, his to come. They got caught up in the Father, and the Father translated them into his own self. Because God, what? The Father inhabiteth eternity. So they get caught up in the glory. He glorifies the Lord, and then they fast forward. God fast forward and translates them all into a future state. And they see the glory of our generation. They see the coming glory, the majestic glory of our King that will be revealed not only through the church, it'll be revealed to the two witnesses. They were there. Those two witnesses were there. Those witnesses were spoken of in the book of Revelation. Those olive trees were there. The disciples were there. And they were all looking past cross into the resurrection, but into the future glory of this coming King, this coming majestic King. Listen, He came to the earth first as a suffering servant and a Savior. He's coming back as a reigning King. He will testify of His kingship through His people. Before His church leaves the earth, it will testify of His kingly authority. This kingly glory, what I call the majestic glory, will come over the people of God. It's going to anoint us in ways we've never been anointed before. We're going to operate in ways we've never operated before. This will be a mainstay operation. We will be caught up in the Father. It will begin to move out in front. And when you're in front, the enemy has no recourse. When you learn to get in front, when God puts us in front of the enemy, He has no power over us. Isn't it amazing? The Lord was always in front of the enemy. Always. There was nothing that ever caught Him off guard. Didn't know that. You never saw Him in a frantic frenzy. You never saw Him. He always knew every environment He was in. He already understood. He was constantly being downloaded the environment He was in. He could see past, present, and future. Nathaniel, before you ever saw me, I saw you. He saw. He always knew. He goes, I only do what I see my Father. Father, say Father. Because He was dwelling in the Father, because the Father was dwelling in Him, there was no limitation to what He could see. He could go all the way back when they were challenging Him, and He could look at any scripture the Father could pull up. He could always master where He was, and He was always out in front. He goes, listen, are there not 12 hours of the day? I walk in the light of the day. He that walketh in the light of the day will not stumble, because I walk with a light that's not of this world. And he that followeth me will not walk in darkness. You will have the same light of life. I am the light of this world. I dwell in my Father, He that is, who was, and is to come. When He was in His Father, He could see all things. This is the ministry of the last days. I've been telling you, the people of God are going to come up into the ministry of the Father, and we're going to be ordained to walk in the seven spirits of omnipresent omniscience, the seven spirits of God. We will see things we didn't see before. We will function in ways we never functioned before. This is what's happening. This is part of the last day glory that's coming upon the church. Amen. 2 Peter, since you're there, look at 2 Peter chapter 1. So you meditate chapter 3, that whole thing's about His second return. Isn't it amazing? They got caught up in the second coming of the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Who ever seen anything like that? God, when the Lord showed that to me, I'm like, what kind of capacity have you given us when we're dwelling in the Father? It always happens in the Father. They were in the Father, and that cloud, see, that cloud came over them. When Peter started talking, that cloud, and the Bible says they entered into that bright cloud. No telling how long they were in there. The Father spoke in that cloud. No telling what all they saw. But Peter, he spent a lot of his life bearing witness of it. He says, we made known to you the power in the coming. We were with Him. We saw Him. We heard Him. We were what? Eyewitnesses of His majesty. I want you to go back to Matthew 17. Okay, Matthew 17, verse 1. Oh, and I saw, this is the one I ran around the house with right here. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, his brother, bringing them into the high mountain apart. Say a high mountain. And was transfigured before them. And His face did shine as the sun. And His raiment white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with Him. Those are the two witnesses of the last days. Hallelujah. They are the olive trees. They were there. That's why they have an ordained witness. They saw Him in His earthly ministry. They are qualified to bear witness of Him in the last days. Why? Because they were seeing Him in His coming glory. And they will precede His second coming. Matthew 17 is after. Matthew 16. After 6 days. Matthew says that, and Luke says that. I mean, Mark says that after 6 days. That's very important. Because Luke says kind of after 8 days, but I believe the other two were correct because they both said six. Why? Because we're in the seventh day. Amen? Because he was resurrected on the seventh day, and we're in the seventh day of creation right now. So the seventh day, seventh year of millennial reign here. We're in the seventh, so after 6 days, they're seeing the seventh day right now. Look at Matthew 16. Are you ready for this? Scholars have not known what to do with this verse. I didn't really know what to do with it until yesterday morning about 9 o'clock, maybe 10. Matthew 16, verse 26. For what a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 16 and 17 should not have had a break. That was one big flow. There should not have been a break here. You'll see this. Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Say, with his angels. He's talking about second coming there. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Truly, truly, say truly, I say unto you, that there be some standing here with me right now will not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You see it? He said, listen, truly I say to you, there's some with me right now. You're not going to taste anything. Well, he's talking about the second death. You're not going to taste of the second death till you see the come. No! He was talking about Peter, James, and John. 6 days before it happened. He said, listen, there are some of you standing with me right now. You will not even taste of death until you see me coming in all of my glory, in all of my kingdom. Because in 6 days from now, after the sixth day, you're coming up with me. And the Father is going to translate us into the coming glory. And you're going to see the Son of Man coming in the glory of his kingdom. You're going to see all my glory. You're going to see my majestic glory. You're going to hear the Father. You're going with me. Say, you're going with me. I'm going to take you with me. You're not going to taste of death. They're probably thinking, what in the world is he talking about? 7 days later, they go up into the mountain. They all go out into our generation. He says, you're not going to taste of death till you see the Son of Man coming in the full glory of his kingdom. He's talking about second coming there. Say, second coming. There's some of you in here is about to see my second coming. They don't even know what he's talking about. He hadn't even been crucified. Could you imagine the level of God trying to deal with human beings? They don't even know he's going to be crucified. They don't even know there's a second coming. They have no clue what he's talking about. And yet in 7 days, they're all going to see it. It's going to be part of the testimony of their life. Not to just bear witness of his resurrection, but bear witness of his second coming. The seventh testimony Peter was given, which was the first to bear witness of the coming glory. We were eyewitnesses of this majesty. That means there's some among us. Say, there's some among us. Better stay very close to the Lamb these days. Because you never know when the I will, Father, they be with me where I am in you. That they may behold my glory that I have with you. Because that's not just the glory where you see him now. That's not the glory of his love, which is his love, but there's a glory that can actually translate you into future things. Not just to see it, but to dwell there and go get some of it. Because whatever Peter experienced, he was testifying of it. Listen, we have a more sure, confirmed word of this prophecy because we encountered it and we experienced it. That's what a lot of your translations will say. We saw it, heard it, encountered, experienced it. We were there. We were the one of the three. He goes, I was one of the three he's talking about right there.
What is God going to do with us in this generation? What is God going to do with us when He unleashes and unlocks the heirs of salvation in this last hour? When He unloads and releases the mighty seven spirits of God upon the church. And one of the predominant operations is what we're talking about right now. Omnipresent omniscience, omnipotent dominion, time habitation, dwelling in the Omega jurisdiction, knowing Him who was, Him that is, and dwelling in Him that is to come. When the Father begins lifting us up into the glory and taking all the limitation off of us. Imagine the mistakes that we've made that we didn't have to make if we would have been dwelling out in front. Imagine where we would be today if we could just dwell out in front a little bit. Imagine what would happen, what will happen when the Father of Lights initiates this operation in Himself. And put your hand over your heart and say, Father, translate me into Thine own self. Translate me into the majestic glory. Clothe me in the glory that is to come. Clothe me in the glory, the majestic glory. As God begins to take the limitations off, one of the ways He's going to do that, He's going to fast forward us into Himself, and He's going to clothe us in something nobody's walking in, that's in front of everybody. Everyone said, oh, I see it coming, I see it coming, I see it coming. All the prophecies, I see it coming, all the prophets see it coming. God said, listen, we're going to go beyond that now. I'm just not going to come and show you the future. I'm going to come and get you and take you into the future. And I'm going to let you dwell in Him that is to come. And you're going to encounter Him that is to come. You're going to be clothed in the glory of it. And you're going to come back and minister the glory of it. And they're going to say, what is this? This coming from the matrix. I've been in the matrix. This is coming in from a future glory of Him that is to come. So let me ask you a question to the religious. When Jesus said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am in you, that they may behold my glory. Father, I will. This is my final will before I go up. They be with me where I am in you. What's the limitation of that? Am I in just the Father's love? Right now for me, that's a major place. Stayed a whole year in it. Changed me forever. Praise God. Is it just the glory of who God the Father is now? Or is it Him that is? Him that was? Or Him that is to come? They be with, where's Christ? He's also Alpha and Omega. Why? Because He's dwelling in the Father. He can dwell anywhere at all times. We already seen that He could take 12 men in a boat through time, pass them through time. Right in the middle of the waters, as soon as He entered the ship, the storm stopped, and immediately they were at land. He took 12 men and a boat, passed them through time. Listen, this operation we're preaching is going to be a mainstay operation. And those that ride the white horse of the last days, this is how God's going to get the job done. We're going to be operating. It is in the ministry of the Father where all limitations are taken off. Right now we're in the ministry of a ordained anointing, but it's anointing that's in measure. It comes and goes. But as we move up into the Father, we're going to move into the anointing where Christ operated, the anointing without measure. Say, without measure. That's why we're not trying to build a little nice church here. That's not what we're about. We're trying to access a kingdom and an operation of this kingdom. And we're plowing through like Tuesday. Boy, we got up into the glory. We were just plowing a brand new road. That road Tuesday is this revelation right here. That road we were plowing in, I remember I woke up, I was just all caught up. I thought, everybody is here, and I wake up, and the only one's here is Pam sitting over there. And Chris is in the back. I'm like, where'd everybody go? I come out of the glory, and everybody's gone, and Pam, she's just licking it up, praise God. Glory to God. God's, when the limitations are taken off, we start ascending into the Father through the limitation. That's why he said, I pray you be with me where I am in the Father. That's where I can take the limitation off. So that's where the limitation's taken off. Because I can take you into now, I can take you back, and I can take you forward into what everyone's looking at, everyone keeps saying. This is what the Lord said. If you want to shift a generation, you have to get something that's not in the generation. You have to get something that's in front of it. This is how you go in front. You go in the Father fast forwards you into the glory. He clothed you in it. You see it. You hear it. You get clothed in it. You enter into, and you come back. And you have something on you. So you got something on you. This is what the Lord did. He was in the Father's mountain. He'd come back. He did the Father on him. And there was nothing he could stand in the midst of that glory. This is how the job's going to get done. This is how we're going to walk in this glory, and the Lord's waiting. He said a seed will serve him in the last days, and it will be counted as a whole generation. Because the Father has promised him a generation that will walk in the fullness. And before his return, there will be a generation that will walk in the fullness of everything he purchased in his mantle, the way he did it, without the limitation. The church will grow up in the fullness of joint heirship. And this operation is a mainstay operation of it. Somebody say hallelujah. There is a light in this realm that causes the earth to grow strangely dim. There's a light that grips, apprehends, and keeps pulling you forward. It just starts. Why? Because you see it. It apprehends you. You stop thinking like normal people. You stop acting like normal people. I am a peculiar person. Amen. You start thinking like a joint heir. God starts sharing his designs with you. He starts sharing his plans with you. He starts sharing how he wants to get things done. And he can blow you out of the saddle. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, think, or imagine. Or we can go to church and learn how to be nice people, which is part of it. Amazing what religion's done to church. What it's done to the church. The world doesn't respect the church because the world hasn't seen the glory yet. When the world sees the glory, the church will be one of the number one spokesmen in the world. The media will start covering the church. They may cover it. They may be negative, but they'll start covering this stuff. Because they're not going to be able not to cover it. They're not going to be able to explain that. Well, we don't really understand what happened there. Please move that to a commercial. That person was raised from, well, he wasn't really dead. Yeah, he was really dead. When bodies start straightening out in the front of the live TV. When the little children's hospital that nobody has an answer for, and the saints of God, the heirs of God, walk in the children's hospital, and all of a sudden the children start, the form children's hospital, they don't ever get out of the hospital. They never go anywhere. And they come in, and all of a sudden they start coming out, and mom and dad, and I mean, all you got to do is one move of glory in there, and every bus in this nation will be at your front door. Because every mom, dad has got a deformed child, heard about it. They're going to go get their child. They're going to park them right in front of your church. That's a glory that is to come. I don't care how far out is in front, because it's in the Father that is to come. And all I got to do is get into the Father, and the Father will translate me to that glory. I don't have to work my life to that glory. I just got to get up into him. If I can get up into him, he'll translate me to where it is. He'll get me there. If he can take three disciples. Believe me, Peter was not a perfect disciple. Thank God for Peter's life. I can relate to him sometime. If he can take three of those guys and move them and translate them into a glory we hadn't even seen yet, how much more can he translate us in? I don't have to work for that anointing anymore. I don't care how long, because I'm thinking, how long did it take me to get here? How are we ever going to get there? You're not going to get there the way you've been running. God's going to take us up and over. Up and over into himself. He said, listen, all this is in me. The unlimited glory is in me, son. It's in me. All you got to do is get up into the Father, and the Father's going to just move us into Himself. Father moves us into Himself. That's glory. You want some more? That's some real glory. You want some more? That's the majestic glory. The coming glory. I'll take that. Clothe me, Father. That's why the ministry of the Father is all things right now. That's why the Father's been done. He's focused on nothing else but moving up into Himself. Don't turn aside. You know how easy it is to turn aside? You know how easy it is to turn aside? Listen, we have an opportunity. God is allowing us to see things that a lot of people on this earth do not see. God has given us some serious revelation. He believes in us. And He wants this for us. And don't turn aside to powerless religion when God is offering so much. Keep your heart fixed, focused. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. The whole journey is to get to the Father. That's it. We get to the Father of love. He takes and He loves the orphan out of us. And then the Father of glory ordains the joint heir in us. This is the ministry of joint heirship. The first thing He's going to do is He's going to remove the orphan spirit. And then He'll begin translating us into omnipresent omniscience. The operation of joint heirship and the joint heirs of God are going to rule and reign in this earth. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. The coming majestic glory. Say the majestic glory. The majestic glory. The majestic glory. There is a glory and then there's the majestic glory. I want the kingly glory. I want the majestic glory. I want the full power. Everybody stand if you would. I want the full manifestation of His glory.
One little piece, real quick, like they got to see the apostles, the three men here got to see God had become man. And in this moment, they not only got to see God had become man, but they saw that man receive the fullness of His inheritance. The fullness of His inheritance. Because you and this body, the body of Christ, is the fullness of His inheritance. He got to step into it and they got to be a witness. They got to participate with Him. And then the prayer of Paul says this in Ephesians 1. It says that we would receive, we would know His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That you would see and experience the same glory they saw on the mountain. That you would walk in the same glory that they saw on the mountain. That you should be a part of the same glory they saw on the mountain. Because we're going to participate in the power, the surpassing power of Christ.
You just say that Christ, we got to see Christ enter in to the fullness of everything the Father had for Him. That's what we're going to get. Praise God. Truly, I say unto you, there is some standing in this house which shall not taste of death, which shall not even taste of the rapture yet, till they have seen, witnessed, experienced the Son of Man and the fullness of His kingdom. God the Father brought Him into all of His glory. The fulfillment of every promise. The two witnesses were there that will foreshadow Him. The witnesses of the New Testament church were there. They saw it. And now we are the generation. They're going to walk in it. The King is coming. Well, we don't have to wait for the majestic glory. We can enter into the Father and dwell in it.